Georgiana and Margaret, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so happy to have you on the show. For most of my listeners know that I have a master's in health education and health communications, and actually a master's in public health, focusing on those two issues. So having you two on is such a thrill for me because this is so near and dear to my heart. Now, in a press release from June 21st, 2010, the National Institute of Whole Health and Wellness Coaches Corporation partnered to put health and wellness coaching on the national healthcare agenda. It says, quote, in order to address the missing link in the current U.S. healthcare system, the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, and Well Coaches have partnered to offer programs that educate and train health and wellness professionals in both whole health education and health and wellness coaching. Now, today we're going to be talking about this missing link. However, if you could each tell us a bit about your organization, and Georgiana, if we can start with you.
Okay, well, I'll keep it brief. As you read in the introduction, back in 1976, I came to Boston to start a practice, actually, in integrative health. And what happened was there were a lot of healthcare practitioners who were voicing at that time the desperate need to understand more clearly information that they could give their patients so their patients could make better choices in how they ate and how they lived and whether they exercised or not and what have you. So I think, you know, that the hand of fate actually pushed the creation of this program. And that's how the program evolved. So since 1976, the program has actually been developing. And we went into two Boston hospitals. We did a pilot study at one of the Harvard hospitals on the North Shore. And here we are today, 35 years later, you know, still very excited about transforming healthcare through demystified patient health information and working with a lot of organizations, including Margaret's wonderful organization, to really drive the change that we all anticipate is not only taking place, but will take place at a much greater speed and greater intensity in the near future.
Yeah, now, Margaret, before you tell us about your wonderful organization, you wrote something in the press release that is just so wonderful. You wrote, quote, real healthcare reform means moving from sickness to wellness, from treatment to prevention, from a focus on weaknesses to a focus on strengths and potential. I love that, and it's so true. So if you can tell us about your organization.
Well, thank you, Lisa. So I'm a veteran of the biotech industry, so I came into coaching from the high-tech side. And why that's important is that I really set out early on to build a curriculum for health and wellness coaches that was science-based, also innovative and creative, too, as coaches are prone to be, because we're spirits full of zest and positivity. But we really set out to build a foundation for these new professionals. And that's 10 years ago. And so my organization is a school for health and fitness and mental health professionals to become coaches. And we've been going since 2002 with a partnership with the American College of Sports Medicine. And at this point, we're over 4,000 coaches trained and in 32 countries. I was just in Brazil in June, for instance, and we're thinking about establishing Well Coaches Latin America. So this has become a global endeavor. And now, you know, we hit our 10th birthday in this year, in January. And now the next phase is that Georgiana and I are part of a major endeavor to really now bring this to mainstream and to bring credibility and standards. Because in the world of coaching and healthcare, there are as many different ways to do it as there are people. And this field will not really gain the respect that it needs to flourish without us, the leaders in this field, actually coming together and agreeing on the standards. So that's the next phase. So hopefully 10 years from now, we will be well embedded, both in the consumer world as well as in healthcare.
Yeah, and this is so crucial, Georgiana. You wrote in the press release, where you were quoted, the treatment of lifestyle-related diseases makes up 70% of healthcare costs, and according to a 7-year Harvard study, lifestyle choices can prevent up to 80% of cancers, heart disease, and diabetes-related mortality and morbidity.
Yeah, it's huge, Lisa. I mean, when you think about it, just think about it. What causes disease? Except for the, you know, anomaly, or except for what's going on, you know, where you've got, you know, iatrogenic disease, or you've got some other external cause that is affecting the body in a, you know, a traumatic or negative way. Most of what we have, what, that we're all walking around with, whether it's sinusitis, allergies, you know, ulcers or whatever, these are all related to lifestyle choices, whether it's being a worrier, not exercising, eating badly, you know, doing things to your body, taking too much over-the-counter medication. Everything that we're looking at with chronic disease, I mean, thank God for the fabulous, wonderful acute medical care, and we're all very blessed to have that and always to have that available. But most of the time, it's the chronic stuff that's really eating up the dollars and causing the suffering. So that's what we have to focus on. And it's just common sense. What, for me, I just want to say that it's amazing that it's taken so long for this to come to light. And I think a lot of it has to do with the consumer. Congratulations to the consumer for actually demanding that they have better information. And congratulations to the internet, because the internet has totally shifted how people create and consume healthcare.
Yeah, you know, I moved here 10 years ago from California, and when I told everyone I was going to Boston, the Boston area, everyone said, oh, you're going to get a job in a minute. You have 20 years experience. At that point, it was 15 years experience or so, and you have a master's in public health. Oh, you're going to, and I could not find a job to save my life. And I thought, what is going on? I don't understand. Why are there no jobs in prevention and education? And obviously things have changed. I ended up working for a few really wonderful nonprofits as an educator. I was a sex educator and a hepatitis C educator. But I was so discouraged and disillusioned. And I thought, if I can't find work in Boston with all my experience, what is going on? So it sounds like there has been a shift.
Tremendous. I'm sure, and Margaret will speak to that, tremendous shift in the last 10 years that we've seen.
Okay. Oh, that's really great. Yeah, Margaret, if you can talk about that.
Yes, I you know, our bellwether is that, you know, we get a lot of inquiries, several thousand a year, and so we always track, you know, where are they coming from. And there's been a notable shift in the last year towards physician practices wanting to have their key people trained as coaches. And so even though that's by no means mainstream, that there's action there. There are a lot of career changes. I just wrote an article for More Magazine's online site around wellness coaching as an encore career, as a career, a second career. And those folks are finding jobs in all sorts of places, from health clubs to employers, you know, Nike and Lands End and others have on-site coaches now.
Really?
Health plans are hiring coaches. Executive health programs, you know, have now realized that they need to help executives implement the prescription, which is much harder than giving it. And so there are really there's really a wide variety of opportunities now.
Yeah, you know, I had mentioned actually Edward Phillips, Dr. Phillips. He's wonderful. I had him on It's Your Health Radio, and he's doing some wonderful work. And, Margaret, I know that you're a part of that. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, you know, Eddie and I met some years ago around him wanting to find ways to help his patients really get, you know, into exercise and eating well as just part of their lifestyle. And so we have developed various things together. And the mission there is really about having the coach be integrated into primary care. You know, Georgiana made the point that medicine is largely acute care oriented.
Mm-hmm.
However, people's primary care doctors are, you know, their point of contact for many things. And wouldn't it be amazing? And in fact, Medicare is reimbursing as of January 2011 for wellness visits, where a patient will get a health risk appraisal, so they'll, you know, their behaviors, not just their biometrics, and they'll be expected to build what they're calling a prevention plan, what we would call a wellness plan. So we're moving, I think, towards a world, you know, you may have heard about the medical home model, the idea that primary care will be a hub for helping people manage chronic disease and prevent disease. So I think that's definitely well underway.
Now, Georgiana, how did you two come together?
Well, interesting story. I had actually, our program, we refer people who are looking for purely coaching competencies. We refer them to Margaret's program. I mean, I hadn't met Margaret for a long time, but I had heard about her program. And so if somebody called up and they said, you know, I'm looking for a coaching program, we would say, well, you know, why don't you call Well Coaches? And this one particular gal who I got to know quite well, I had referred her to Well Coaches, and she got to know Margaret, you know, peripherally. And she had called me, the student had called me up and said, you know, Georgiana, that I really think you and Margaret, you know, should get together, because this particular student had been reviewing a lot of our courses because she was doing some consulting for us. She said, I think that what the two of you are doing is so compatible and really are two pieces of the puzzle. So Margaret and I have been talking probably and collaborating, and I like to think that we've also become friends because we've spent so much time, Margaret, haven't we? I mean, our emails are sizzling all the time. So we've been, you know, back and forth for, I guess, the last year and a half or 2 years, and you know, I think it's been something that is just, it's kind of naturally evolved through the work that we do. So I enjoy, you know, working with Margaret in the sense that I think she's a, you know, real innovator, and appreciate how coaching is an addition, a wonderful addition to what we do. We developed a behavioral engagement model, which is about, it's really a modality that can easily be part of coaching. But what the coaching model is a sustainable, you know, kind of a measured methodology that we think is a very important part and should be an important part of health education as well.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned in the introduction, Georgiana, that you pioneer the concepts of whole person health care and the whole health education. Now, you just mentioned the behavioral. How do those two fit in with that?
Well, they have to. I mean, what drives people to, you know, create a lifestyle? It's their behavior. What drives mm-hmm. their behavior? Their values. If you really look, I was just I was lecturing last night at a organization, and we were talking. It was very interesting because the discussion became very rich. We were talking about the whole idea of what is behavior? What drives your behavior? Why do we behave the way we do? And being that this is a very passionate area for me and the work that I do, we started talking about values and we started talking about all kinds of things. You cannot create sustainable change in a person unless you take a certain very appropriate approach to inviting them to organically change their values and their belief system. And what we did in our program is we developed a methodology and a modality that's evidence-based, it's very scientifically based, in how you can actually facilitate that in another person, which is really quite extraordinary. And we're going to be publishing the book and the DVD for that at the end of this year, and it's very exciting.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love you to come back and talk about that. Now, Margaret, with the coaching, so the coaching is obviously they're going to help people who are ready to make the behavioral changes, and they're sort of helping to guide them, keep them on track. If you can give us a little information about that.
Yes. Well, you know, that we are bringing coaching to the world at an excellent time because the literature around how we change, you know, is vast, and much of it's very recent, you know, in the last 10, 20 years. And so coaches have been able to integrate from a lot of different theories around motivation and resilience and hope and optimism and mindfulness and, you know, on and on and on. And I think what we're bringing is this emphasis on all the psychological skills that go into change. You know, why don't people lose weight for good? Why don't they take responsibility for their health until they have a heart attack? What, you know, what's going on here? And so fortunately there's, you know, just this vast literature that is just ripe for the picking and for applying. And so we follow, you know, kind of like a project management structure of the way people get things done at work. You know, what's my vision? What are my goals? You know, what are my strategies? What are my strengths and talents? And you know, what are my challenges? And on and on and on. So in a way, it's a structured approach to making change. And it's a process. It's holistic. And that's important because medicine is not only top-down, but it's very siloed. And so even in the wellness arena, if you want expert help, you know, you go to the fitness person for exercise, the nutrition expert for eating input. You go to the, you know, mind-body counselor. And coaching integrates all of that. And all of these pieces are interdependent. And so it's so important to actually look at them all as a whole and look at and think about how, you know, the reason I'm not sleeping is because I'm stressed out, and I'm stressed out because I've overeaten and I've not exercised, and, you know, on and on. It's this one very kind of tangled mm-hmm. up sort of, you know, lifestyle that we get ourselves into. And it's so hard to unravel that and really figure out where do I start and what's going to make the most difference. And so So we are really working on, you know, in a holistic way. We're working on as a process for change. And then all of the psychological skills that have to be developed that just don't get taught to us in school or at work around self-motivation and mindfulness and resilience and hope and all of those things. So it's this unique package that's not really available anywhere else.
All right.
That allows people to really figure out what is it, because, you know, so often this happens every time I do a coaching session. People come in and say, this is my issue. And by the time an hour goes by, it turns out that it's not that that's the issue. There's another place to start that they just hadn't figured out because they hadn't taken the time to really get clear about where they're going. And so often we help people completely change their perspective on what they want to do,
great.
What they can do, and where they're going to go.
Now, Georgiana, you were going to say something a moment ago?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the whole idea about, I like what Margaret said about it being a tangled, you know, mm-hmm. a tangled mess, so to speak. What we have been doing at our organization is demystifying, clarifying, and delivering to people a very clear and organic way that they can make all of these connections. We developed a model of health education that addresses the multiple aspects to how we actually develop our lives and our choices and our lifestyle. So we think that there are two components to this. One is the practitioner or the coach or the health educator there has to be a certain substantive body of knowledge whereby they understand the cause and effect. They understand the interrelationships of how everything is connected to everything else in your life. If you don't have the evidence-based foundation, if you can't answer a question for a patient, and there are four questions the patient wants to know, are you really listening to me? Can you explain to me how and why this happened to my body? Do you care what I know about my health and my body? And can you tell me how to control this situation? If you can't answer those questions with evidence-based information, then that person is still confused and is still tangled. So we see that there's a very clear need for a substantive foundational education for anyone who's going to be interacting with people in a healthcare capacity or in a behavioral capacity. And then after that, there are skills and competencies that the individual should have that facilitates that person's change, and that change should be sustainable. So with regard to the public relations, the PR, the press release that you were talking about earlier, is that Margaret and I both agree, and I'm sure she'll speak to this, that there are two pieces of skills and competencies that we both agree about and support. We do very different things. Margaret has really crafted a path for coaching competencies, and we have crafted a path for demystified whole person health information. And, you know, we're still kind of walking around and exploring and experimenting how we can, you know, see a vision to bring both of those more together. We're at the early stages of that, but I think the important thing is that both of our organizations see and agree and support this wonderful new process to bring people to better health.
Yes, I mean, it's just the work that you do is so phenomenal. And I mean, what are your goals right now with healthcare reform, and how are you moving this forward? Margaret, if you want to touch on that.
Yes, well, there are at least two important fronts. One, if we're going to have health and wellness coaching accepted as a new profession in healthcare, which is a, you know, a big leap forward, we need to do two things. One is we've got to have standards so that everybody knows, you know, what does it take to be a health and wellness coach? What's your prior experience need to be? What's your training, testing, credentialing, et cetera? The second is that we need to really broaden out the research endeavor because medicine at this point, you know, in the last 20 years, the whole concept of being evidence-based has really come to the fore. And so by being evidence-based, that means you need to have, you know, many, many fairly large randomized studies around the use of coaching in a variety of clinical indications. I'm sorry, the phone is ringing here.
Oh, that's okay. I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
Give me a sec.
Well, it just shows that you're very in demand.
So the research agenda is around, you know, looking at coaching. There's excellent starting data in diabetes, weight loss, depression, and a few other clinical areas. But we need to do more and larger studies to show that we are making an impact, and that's what's going to drive reimbursement. And also, I think from the consumer's perspective, people want to know that it works. You know, they don't just want to hear the testimonials of the people who lost 100 pounds. You know, they want to see that this has while there's still a very important personal chemistry and connection between a coach and client, and that has a big impact, just like in therapy, on success. At the same time, if we collectively can show that these methods work in a wide variety of settings, then this will become mainstream. People will accept that, yes, this is not a fly-by-night, a passing fad. This is something that's gonna stick.
Danger here, and I do, you know, there is danger in this, and I think Margaret is certainly addressing the danger. The danger is that there have been, you know, very hopeful approaches to behavioral change and to disease prevention. I mean, the whole disease management movement, which was huge, and there were studies that were done all over the place, and everyone was excited, and they thought that, wow, this is it. You know, this is going to really turn the tide. I think what Margaret's saying is that it's very important that you do the studies because, unfortunately, in the case of disease management, what destroyed disease management and kind of, you know, knocked it out of the box as a modality was that the data came back that it did not change the outcomes. It didn't change the behavior. Isn't that sad? When you think about
the millions and
billions of dollars that, you know, went into this whole thing. So it is important. What the point she's making is that it's very important that rather than just getting excited about something, it's kind of like dating somebody that you've got great chemistry with, and, you know, 2 years later, you know, it's a bad relationship. It's very critical that there is the pipeline of research and evidence-based data that shows, yes, this modality does, in fact, change behavior. It does change outcomes. Because without that, you know, it can be just another, as they say, flash in the pan where people are excited and it looks promising. So it's very important that research be established to move something forward in mainstream medicine.
Yeah, well, I just want to thank you both so much for coming on the show and enlightening us on this very important topic. And Georgiana, if you can tell us how people can learn more about NIWH and how they can take your awesome courses. I'm looking at them.
Thank you. It's real simple. You just go to our website, which is niwh.org, or you can call us at our toll-free number, which is 888-354-HEAL, H-E-A-L, which is 4325. So it's 888-354-4325.
Nope.
Yes, wellcoaches.com will take you to our coach training school.
Well, I want to thank you so much, and I'd love to check in a few months and have you both back on and let me know how you're doing. And I really want to talk with you, Georgiana, about the book that's coming out. You said at the end of the year?
Right. We're going to be it's really scheduled for the end of the year. And what's interesting is that this is going to be a modality that's available to everybody. It's not just for healthcare professionals. It's not just for coaching. It's for people who are married, people who have relationships with their children. It's a way of being. It's a way of being in relationship with other people and yourself that really transforms not only relationships, but transforms our ability to understand more deeply what we know about ourselves. And it's a powerful tool. We've spent many, many years working on it. And, I think the time is now. So we're excited to bring it to the public and to bring it to healthcare as well. And we look forward to getting it published.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to reading it and bringing it to my listeners. I mean, everything that you talked about today, that's why I created It's Your Health. Now I'm calling It's Your Health Network because I have It's Your Health Radio, and I also do It's Your Health TV on My TV New England. And that was the goal, is I want to get people great information to help them live the best.